Good morning, 8:09 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, as he does every single Monday at this time. Well, I should say it's either him or Sheriff Bob Johns. But in this case, we have Chief Deputy Shane Tucker from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. I'm glad it's me this morning.
I am too. I'm glad for whoever it is. I both of you are really good interview guests. Anything happened over the weekend or last week that we don't already know about?
From a crime perspective, you know, Andrew, I'm disappointed to tell you that once again we've had a domestic violence case that involves a perpetrator strangling a victim. Thursday morning, our deputies took a report of a victim who stated that her longtime boyfriend hit her several times and strangled her to the point where she even lost consciousness. Deputies did observe injuries that were consistent with her statement. So the suspect, although not immediately arrested because the report was taken at a different location, was charged with false imprisonment and DV battery by strangulation.
And now,
he currently sits in our county jail.
Now is this, you know, and it doesn't make it any less of a crime either way. I'm just, you know, cases are interesting to me. Was this a spouse? Was it the man strangling the woman? I don't think you specified. If I didn't hear, maybe I'm wrong. Was it a boyfriend? Or, I mean, what was the, do you know any of the other particulars?
Yes, sir. They were cohabitants of some years. They had been together for some time.
Okay. And it was the man who strangled the woman?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
In this case.
All right. So the question that I have about that, and if you don't know, that's fine. I know you wouldn't, you know, you'd only tell me if you knew. It's always been my understanding that though domestic violence can happen under, you know, any circumstances, that typically, for example, kids are more vulnerable to not their own father. You know, it's the stepfather or the boyfriend that's more likely to be a threat to them. And that people who are not married but are living together are more likely to have these kinds of incidents. Is that accurate to the best of your knowledge, or is there anything about that you can tell us?
You know, that's actually a very interesting concept. I don't know from a data standpoint what the numbers would say. I can tell you that anecdotally that does sound consistent with some of the things I've seen over a career, that while domestic violence occurs in just about any composition of a home, you know, that does seem pretty accurate that it happens in those circumstances to a higher degree.
Yeah, it just kind of had always been my impression that, you know, entering the covenant of marriage, all the formality of it, making the life commitments, that really does have a value, you know, that people do take that seriously. It's not obviously it doesn't prevent all problems, and it certainly doesn't, you know, guarantee everything in the long run. But like I said, that had always been my understanding from the social science, was that it was a higher risk environment for all kinds of adverse events to be in an unmarried cohabiting relationship, both for the, you know, the partner and for the children. So I was just kind of curious, and it sounds like, and not to put you out on a ledge on this because you weren't sure, but it sounds like that kind of fits with your own experience, which is interesting. Anything else?
Not knowing the hard numbers, that seems like a legitimate thesis. Not knowing the actual data, that does seem consistent.
Just kind of along those lines, you know, we always like to make sure this is informative for folks. Was this a warning signs ahead of time, or was this a sudden kind of thing?
Now, you know, that I don't know. That's a really good question. You know, like we've talked about before, domestic violence almost always is a progressive issue.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, by the time we intervene, that is absolutely not even close to the first time an incident has occurred. So that is entirely likely. You know, I'm just not familiar with the dynamics of this particular family.
Very good. And, you know, look, you know, you also have the difficulty of a lot of times it's the friends and relatives that see the problems before you do because you're, you know, you're love blind or whatever. And it's hard to talk people into doing things when they're just convinced that this is the right person for them. But it is take stock in the situation. And, you know, these are the warning signs. And if you see them, those things don't go away, but everybody thinks, you know, I can fix them, I can take care of it, whatever. That's just not how it turns out. You guys had something else happen this last week. You guys have started working with a little bit new equipment. Is that right?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, we're really excited. We've been for some time now. We've been in a testing and evaluation process to find an outer vest carrier for the bulletproof vest that our deputies wear. You know, that'll carry it on the outside of their shirt as opposed to wearing it underneath their shirt. And what that's going to do, that's going to help keep our deputies safe and maintain a professional appearance. By redistributing some of the gear that they carry on their belt, which traditionally has been linked to a significant factor in like lower back pain, problems with the hips and the pelvis that cops over a long career experience at a disproportionate rate. So what we're trying to do here is protect their well-being, maintain a professional appearance, and we're really excited about this. The feedback we've got so far from deputies as well as the community has been really positive. So we look forward to this. It took us some time to get it. You know, we had to go back to the drawing board a few times, but I think we found a finished product that's going to do us proud.
You know, it's interesting because I had never thought about, obviously, the back side of it, the back, you know, issues side of it. I had also never thought about how that utility belt that you wear has got to be a major functional inconvenience when you're in the car. I mean, I just know for me, if I've got a interior waistband carry for my concealed carry, that's just a pain. Wearing in the car, how do you sit, you know, where do you put your seatbelt around, you know, that kind of stuff. And you guys obviously have four or five different pieces of equipment. If you can have something that's, you know, on your chest as opposed to on your belt, I would imagine that not just convenience, but, you know, there's a reason the military carries it that way, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a lot more convenient. And, you know, the selling point for us was, bottom line, was the health and safety of our deputies.
Yeah.
You know, traditionally over 100 years, law enforcement officers have been carrying gear on their waist, on their belt. That's just the way it's always been. And over the past several decades, we're coming to learn that is really physically bad for people to do over an extended period of time, and a lot of cops retire with pretty significant back problems. So anything we can do to keep our deputies healthy, safe, and more comfortable, we're absolutely gonna look into doing.
And especially if, as you say, if you can wear the bulletproof vest elements of what you're wearing outside the shirt, that's better for situations. You can take it off very easily. You don't have the kind of puffy shirt appearance. It's a little bit strange. I mean, you know, that's all to the good. I love it. You know, look, medical health improves the lives of your officers over time, and new gear can facilitate that. That's great. Shane Tucker, he is the Chief Deputy of Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Talk to you soon.